Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Molly Rice,
hello.
As I live and breathe, how are you?
Good. I'm glad to be talking with you today.
Well, I am glad to be talking with you. No better way than with cocktails. No better place than here at Bricolage.
That's right.
Down on Liberty Avenue. They're keeping you pretty busy, huh?
Yes, very much so.
How do we define Molly Rice? On your business card, which you've been so kind to give me, it says playwright, but that leaves things pretty open-ended.
It does. Actually, you know, it's about time for a new business card.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I'm glad I brought that up.
Yeah, put it on my mental list. So right now, I would define myself as, yes, a playwright, but I sometimes like to use the very pretentious phrase, experience designer.
Experience designer.
Yeah, because a lot of my ideas no longer fit on the page. You know, a lot of them are not so much about people, but about experiences.
Well, and that's one thing that really interested me in, you know, brushing up on your resume. You've done quite a bit. You have a very extensive career on the stage as a playwright, but a lot of your recent projects are coming out of the theater and off the stage in a lot of very diverse ways. So it seemed a little tricky for me to kind of define you. So I'm talking to Molly Rice today. What's she do? I'm like, well, what doesn't she do?
An enigma.
Right. An enigma is a good
riddle.
Thing. An enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a conundrum in a burrito. But that's a good place to be. I mean, I think we need people like that are kind of shaking up the status quo of theater. So what, you know, having had a lot of experience writing for the traditional stage, what really sort of coaxed you out of that to kind of literally and figuratively start working out of the box?
Well, you know what's funny is that I have been doing what is now called immersive work for a long time, for probably 15 years, and site-specific work. I used to live in Austin, Texas many years ago, and I used to head up their site-specific festival every year. But what's happened is those plays have found more opportunities as more people are interested in that kind of work. Hmm. So I've seen, for example, Bricolage. I mean, they really are, you know, becoming leaders in the immersive field. And as that's starting to happen, I'm finding more homes for these pieces. But I feel like I've always been on sort of a dual track of doing site-specific or, you know, it's hard to put labels on it, but, you know, these experience-y type things. And then also in the theater kind of stuff. And you know what? I think it's all about the story. Mm-hmm. The story comes, the idea comes, and then you got to go, well, what container will fit this?
So for your new business card, experience-y type things.
Yeah. It's a little,
we nailed it.
I mean, you know, it's these words, they're really, really tough.
And what was the term that you had used earlier?
Experience designer.
Experience designer. I think that, you know, there are probably wedding planners and things that are getting away with using that term too. That's a shame.
Well, exactly. But you know, who knows if maybe one of the ideas will be a wedding. You know, you never know if it'll be a
theatrical. That's all theatrics.
Wedding.
I mean, weddings are theatrics. Yeah. It's all that ceremony, you know.
Exactly.
So there could be a little side business for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's part of the beauty of using a phrase like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it can mean many things.
Right. So, yeah, I imagine that, you know, when is it that you first come up with a concept and then decide, okay, this is going to steer me, you know, towards traditional theater or steer me towards an experience, and the idea is maybe kind of what generates the direction?
That is exactly what it's like for me. And I've been lucky enough to, like, I got to go to Brown with Paula Vogel, who is somebody that is so, she loves all plays. She loves all plays.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Like somebody might say that, but Paula Vogel really does. And she encourages you to write whatever that idea is. And that was a really enforcing kind of experience for me, encouraging. And it taught me that it's the idea that comes first for me. And then where you want to go, little buddy? Where are you going? Mm-hmm. How can I help you get where you need to go? And sometimes it's totally theater-based, and sometimes it's like, you know,
that is being open to the universe. And I, for one, would like to see Paula Vogel at a production of Nonsense just laughing. I think that...
She'd probably love it.
Yeah, I didn't know that about her. That's one of my favorite things about Berg Vivant, is I get these fun showbiz stories, you know, about people. Like, yeah. Paula Vogel loves Nonsense. I don't know. She probably does.
She's really my patron saint. She's one of a handful of people that... was a permission giver and gave me sort of a broader sense of our whole art. And I think she's always looking, I think really, really wonderful theater artists are always looking for ways in which their work spills outside the box.
Yeah.
It could be just in language. It could be in a deeper character, but we're always looking to sort of expand what we do, and I think. So she helped me do that.
So let's examine an example of immersive theater. And we may as well use Saints Tour, which is coming up with Bricolage here, which you've written, an immersive experience. You're not sitting in a theater for this. You're out there. And just kind of reading the description, it's hard to, you know, visualize what this is. So we've got to come see it. But in something that seems to depend a lot on the environment and where you go and where you end up, what's your approach to crafting something like that? In other words, scripting something like that.
You know, the cool thing about the Saints Tour is there is a loose... I don't even want to say loose. There's a pretty strong narrative backbone to this play that's about the tour guide. And I've done this play in several communities. It started in Louisville, and then it moved to the West Village of New York, and then to Wall Street, which was really interesting and different.
Saints and so, Tour on Wall Street?
Yeah, it was really an experience. But so what stays in place is this sort of story of the tour guide and what her challenge is and what she's aching to get, you know, as... is usually the backbone, right, for most theater. So that's been a great way to anchor this play. And then the next step is the neighborhood and who lives there or who works there. And that's the entire sort of engine of this piece is, you know, in this case, it's Braddock Hills and North Braddock, that whole area that all used to be called just Braddock's Field, that whole area. And who lives there, who works there, who are the saints there. We try to incorporate as many people as possible from the community where we do this play. And the play doesn't even, I mean, I finished the rehearsal draft this week. You know, the play doesn't get written until everybody's had their say. And so the community is really...
Usually it's just the playwright that gets to get
exactly.
their say. So this is a very new approach to the theater.
It's very different. Yeah, and it's great. You know, the community itself, even the topography of the place finds its way into the play. So you've got this backbone of a tour guide. Of course, she's the Braddock tour guide, you know, this time. But we've got visual artists that are contributing pieces and contributing ideas. We've got Lenka Clayton, who's contributing kind of concepts. She's a conceptual artist. She just won a some award. See, that's the problem with being new in town. She won an arts award just last year, I think, here in Pittsburgh. And she's brilliant, but she's contributing ideas, like concepts. And then we've got James Simon, who's contributing actual physical objects. And so those things, we've got a lot of other folks too. Vanessa German is involved, and David Pohl, who's an illustrator, is involved. So they bring to the table what they're thinking, along with kind of bouncing back from the basic idea of saints. We've got Braddock Youth Project, which we've worked with probably 20 young people out there making things and creating art that they're going to sell and that sort of thing. So then it's like, okay, I've got all of this stuff. How do I stuff it into the skeleton of the Saints Tour? You know, and it's awesome. It's like it's my favorite project to work on because it's so hard to do.
So what can one expect, having purchased their ticket and arriving at the designated time and space? What happens? I don't think I'm going to be just sitting there observing theater.
Yeah.
What, without giving too much away, what can I expect? Am I moving? What's happening?
Yes. So what you can expect is, first of all, think in terms of a tour, a sort of historical narrative tour that you might take of a region that's really rich in history. Those are the conventions we're following. So that means that you will, both on foot and in a bus, travel through this whole area with stops where the tour guide will tell stories about saints that emerged from this area, or saints that lived here once and moved away, or magical events that occurred in this place or that place.
So, and would that be sort of a fictional aspect of it, or are these, you know, actual people that are you telling stories of actual saints from Braddock?
Well, it's a combination.
So, okay, so it's a really a blend of what's
really
there
blended.
And the imagination. That's neat.
Yeah, we've had some elderly folks that we've been meeting with for over a year who have given us such beautiful stories of their family members, and those people have become characters in this play, and one of them's become a saint. And
really? Like canonized?
Well,
is that what happens? Or
that canonized, maybe we should say that. But, you know, we've decided to honor him. This is a man that was not honored and should have been. And so in the play, he's given the title of saint. Yeah. So it's very much a sort of experience where you're like, that sounds real. Maybe that's not real. And then, like, hopefully you go, maybe it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all kind of blends together into an experience that, you know, that's bigger than just facts or fiction.
So what was the first inception of this? Was it, I've got this idea, I want to try to find the right area in the Pittsburgh region to do this, or was it, aha, Braddock, I need to do something about Braddock? What was the first spark?
Question. Well, over the years, as I've been doing the project in different places, a sort of method has become clear in terms of the best way to do it. Mm. And one of the tenets of that is to find a hub organization, which ideally is a theater, and that's where Bricolage came in. So, and they've been the ideal. I mean, this project is really, we've been able to expand it to its greatest sort of iteration, I think, because of that partnership. So I'm very grateful. And what happens is, like, we came in and we said, well, where do you want to do this? And because we were not from here, and often the saints tour happens from far away, starts from far away. Like the first one I wrote on Google Map View, the whole thing. I'd never been to Louisville. I just went through the streets and found the route that way.
And see, Google probably isn't even aware that they've been, an integral piece in writing theater.
Yeah. You know? Maybe I could get some funding.
I think so. Cut
me
in for 5%. Whatever you get.
So they said, I mean, fairly quickly, they said we should really try Braddock because of a couple of things. One was that there is a wonderful and unique sort of pulling toward Braddock of artists. It's one of those times, and places that are really drawing artists, mostly visual artists, which is why our Saints Tour has so much visual art. Usually it's music. But in this case, because that's who was there, who's on the play. So that was one thing. We also knew of a couple of organizations that we felt like would be great partners for us, because a part of the Saints Tour is to work with usually non-theater organizations and try to do at least a little bit of good, the way a saint might, in the course of the project. So they had that. They had people that are fantastic to work with. And it's just got so many layers of history. I mean, there's some things that if you come to the tour, you're not going to believe happened there, or you may have heard a little bit about, it's so deep. The layers are so deep there of history and different kinds of people that came, and some went and some stayed. And it's just a wonderful place to write about.
I love the tagline, Saints Tour, there's something in the dirt. It kind of makes it sound a little bit like a schlocky 1976 horror movie, but it is quite the opposite of that. But no, I love that. I actually want to use that, when people visit my house, because I never clean. There's something in the dirt.
I love it.
It's my convictions of,
not getting
a broom. You ever see Mommy Dearest with Faye Dunaway when she says,
I have seen it.
That's one of my favorite lines. Helga, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt. but as it applies to Saints Tour, I mean, my take on that is that, it's, you know, born of what is there, what is in the actual soil, what is in the ground, what's in the city, in the town.
Well, and that's really true. The other thing, besides kind of a visual arts shine there, is gardening. People are growing.
Oh.
That land has been farmland since Native American times. I mean, that is a fertile piece of land right off the Monongahela.
Now, see, I didn't know that because I'm thinking of like the industrial Braddock area.
Right. So that's what's interesting about it,
yeah.
is that's, and then the mill comes in and sort of dirties up the place.
It's
but
in the
creates
dirt.
A lot of jobs and that sort of thing. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the dirt too. And then now that the mill is sort of quieted and that, you know, it's not as, it doesn't create as much, you know, of that mess, people are growing things everywhere. Mm. Everywhere you go, somebody's got a garden. There's Braddock Farms, which was is a project of Grow Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And it's this big farm that supplies food to, sells food to the local community and also to all kinds of restaurants around town. It's just very clear that this land was meant to grow, you know, when you go there. Even with the mill sitting, you know, sitting over there kind of looming, it's still a farm.
I feel like the national anthem should be playing behind you and a flag should start waving.
And
glory,
like
glory, hallelujah. Yeah. Because really, and I mean, I say that half in jest, but this is not only, I think, a theatrical experience, but a way for someone to connect with what's around them here. Because I thought I knew a lot about what was happening in Braddock. I just learned a ton more listening to you there. So it's an education. And I think really everybody needs to get to know what's happening in Breck. New restaurants,
yeah.
art happening. It's like the new hip place.
It's really going. And what we tried to do also is to really focus on who... on a couple of the new folks, like Kevin Souza is opening his restaurant, Superior.
Oh, Brothers, yeah.
There.
I hear about that everywhere.
Yeah.
That guy gets more press than the President of the United States. I'm telling you. I want to know who his PR people are. I read about Kevin Souza everywhere. I got to get him on the show. See what you can do.
Yes, you really should. He's a hardworking dude.
Uh-huh.
He would probably really like that as, you know, as we get closer. So he's building his restaurant, and he is helping us. We have a meal at the end. I want to make sure to say.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Yeah.
You should know that up front.
Absolutely. So you take the tour. We ask you to walk. It's about half a mile at the most, so not too much, but in case you know there's mobility issues, you should know that. And then we feed you. And it's from locally sourced meal as much as possible from the neighborhood. So that's our goal, is to really kind of give you all the senses of the neighborhood. And he's helping with that. So
cool.
I forgot what I was answering.
Well,
what are we talking about?
I was praising Kevin Sousa's PR talents, but
things that are starting up. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it.
But we will be walking, so I think it's important to say wear sensible shoes.
Yes.
No heels, right?
No, please, please, no, honey. Leave them at home. You don't.
You're talking to me like I was gonna wear them. Like, no, I'm gonna leave my stilettos. I know better. But no, it's funny because so many places say that. I think there was a cave. It's like a cave you can tour. And I saw their brochure one time, and on the back, it was hysterical. In bold letters, like bigger than their address, their phone number, never wear high heels to a cave. Like, well, thank you.
I mean,
I'm sure somebody would
That's
try.
That's the name of my next play.
Never wear high heels to a cave.
Yeah,
it could be like a sort of a caveman romp or something.
Yeah,
it's sort of
musical
like...
for sure.
Call me. I would love to be a part of that.
Yeah,
I would. I'd love to consult.
It's done and done.
Because you know why? I've never worn high heels to a cave, so therefore I'm an expert in this. I would love to help you out with that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Of course, would love to see the Saints tour. Now, how long is this running? How long is the bus running?
The bus is, it's a school bus, and it's running just apropos of nothing, and it's running, I think, 4 weeks. It's got a good
May 21st through June 13th, so plenty of opportunities to see this. Rain or shine?
Yep.
Because you know that.
And
you never know with Pittsburgh.
No, I know. It'll be interesting to see how it changes in the rain. I will say that the first weekend tickets are selling out very quickly.
Get on it, everybody.
Yeah, so it's because it is this, you know, this sort of immersive nature of this piece means that we're only allowing between 40, 45 people on the tour at a time. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's not as many people that we can serve. So please, if you're interested, I would buy tickets.
That's how immersive theater is.
It is. It's sort of expensive and beautiful.
Like many things.
I was going to say, I wish just like me. Expensive and beautiful. That would be
well,
nice.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, beautiful, certainly. Oh, I mean, so I'll take you out, see what the bill comes to. You know.
So, the other thing that I should probably say is that Bricolage and Real Time have really worked to raise enough money that everybody with the zip code of Braddock, which is 15104, comes to the show for free. So all of the local folks that want to come are welcome.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and what
thank you for that.
Oh yeah, it's really important with this kind of work. I mean, they're the stars, you know, mm-hmm. of the show, and we've met many, many people who are in the local community that are just stunning, amazing human beings. One particular woman has just agreed to be the house manager, so she has a new part-time job because of the Saints tour, and she's just a ray of light. And we just so many people that I've written the play, big chunks of the play about them, so who are still living there. So you know, not just the people that have passed on from there. So.
And Real Time Interventions is the name of your company through which you produce that is cooperating with Bricolage on this. Yeah. So I think we talked about a little bit about what your company does, but maybe we didn't kind of connect the name. So Real Time Interventions, I think, speaks to maybe intervening in our typical theater-going process. Is that how we should take that?
I think that's a great way to take it. I think, too, that it for me, it's about, okay, I don't know about you guys and you, but I am on my phone all the time. Mm-hmm. I have to work on my computer all day. That's what I do. Yeah. You know, that's my work. And it's a sort of intervention from that. It's a real time. Like, we're in real time, present time, for just a little bit of time together. It's really focusing on live arts and the experience of liveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as we move forward with technology and just with the future, that we are going to miss real time more and more. And we want to help create little pockets of that for people to experience. That may just be as simple as a play, you know, in a theater. But it also may be something different. It may be a game we create. Or it could be, you know, another immersive piece. It could be a lot of things. It could even be a concert, form of a play.
I think you've linked up with a great partner company, yeah. Bricolage. Bricolage has always struck me as sort of like a scientist to theater. You know, sort of dissecting it and pushing it to places where it hasn't been and testing little things and experimenting with it in different ways. And, absolutely. You know, really taking theater into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And because, again, like you said, we're on our cell phones all the time. We need new engaging ways to connect. It's tough having a conversation with people these days. Nobody wants to call me on the phone. They all want to text mm-hmm. and have a conversation. Just call me. And I'm thinking, we're drifting away. We're becoming very, you know, secluded and shorter attention spans.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes me think about what is the future of theater, especially in the United States.
Well, but isn't it interesting that immersive theater has come on the map in the mm-hmm. past 10 years when this has started to accelerate.
There's been a need for it.
That's right. And that's, I believe that. I mm-hmm. think that it's sort of something that will continue to grow because of the need. And that's part of theater. That's why I do theater. That's part of theater I like the best mm-hmm. is the liveness of it. Here we are. Oh my God, we're right here. You know, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? It's just the greatest thing. So that's really kind of the idea behind Real Time.
I am a fan of immersive theater. What I don't like, I have to tell you, is when they want me to participate.
Yes.
They like select me and be like, come on up. Or like every
like
time
either.
An actor walks down off the stage and comes in the audience, I say, oh. You know, and I'm looking for the, you know, exit.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Because, you know, I'm a performer at heart, but not when I wasn't expecting it, you know.
I don't like it unless it's clear that that will be one of my roles.
Right.
If it's clear, then I can go or not go. But I'm with you. I think there is a contract that if you break it, you piss people off.
And, yeah.
You know, you kind of find out what that is as you work. You know?
Yeah.
So you don't always know what it is. But I agree with you. I'm I like to sit in my seat or do, you know, whatever, but not
and absorb. Yes. Yeah. So what's next for you after this project?
Well, I'm getting married on Friday.
Congratulations. Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious.
Cheers. Look at that rock. I'm going to have to do an overlay of a picture. Cheers to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
wonderful.
So, what's he do?
Well, he's actually my producing partner at Real Time Interventions.
Well, it is a marriage in many ways.
It is. He's working on the Saints Tour as well, so he's like the fourth of our four.
Well, this is going to be your like memorable project because hey, that's the one you got married. How long have you known each other?
About 5 years. Yeah. We just moved here a year ago because Pittsburgh is amazing. We came from New York City and we were just like,
Thank you.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time here. I had my best friend was very ill and I was caring for her. And by about a year in, I was like, let's move. And Rusty Thielen, who is my beau, said, okay. And then Bricolage came along and wanted to do this piece. And it's just been where it's such a wonderful place.
This
such
is your month
place.
Right now. I mean,
I'm telling you,
This is a red letter couple of weeks.
And then I think next for us, for Real Time, is a long development process for a piece we're calling Sport. Mm-hmm. We got here and we were like, oh my God, people love sports here. We're not sports people at all. We're like kind of nerds.
Sports and theater rarely intersect, but they do.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're inventing a sport with the help of athletes and actors. And we're sort of exploring, what's the difference between theater and sports? Why is theater really struggling, but sports seems to do okay? What are the elements? And so that's our next
project. Why aren't there collectible trading cards of theatrical actors?
Yeah,
you know?
maybe for this there will be.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's a good idea.
Oh yeah, call me. I would love to be a part of that.
You should totally be a part
of
it.
Toss out an idea here or there.
Yeah.
Give me a ring. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the public, a couple of the public theater here did The Chief, which was a play about Art Rooney, I think, who was like a sports guy.
Yeah.
Founder of the Steelers or something like that. And that ran forever because it blended two things that this city loves.
That's it.
Football and theater. You know?
That's it.
So I imagine that there were a lot of like maybe wives saying to their husbands, well, it's about football. Come on, you know, you
totally
could. Right. It's something we could both enjoy.
That's right.
Pittsburgh's a big sports city, but the culture is so rich here and you read about it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And this is a gold mine for creatives. So I'm thrilled that this city has attracted you to
it. Oh, it's wonderful.
And I hope you'll stick around.
Oh, yeah. We feel at home. Like we're home. So.
Very good.
Thank you, Pittsburgh.
Oh, and thank you, Molly. Once again, we're looking forward to everything that you are up to and will continue to offer us. And Saints Tour begins May 21st, runs through June 13th. Get to know what's in the dirt. How's that for a closer?
Perfect.
Wonderful. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.